заспіваймо, серце наше звеселяймо. Ой, сусідко, 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 позич мені решітко, решітко, а я муки підтрясу, підтрясу, завтра вранці принесу, принесу. Ой, сусідко, 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 позич мені решітко, решітко, а я муки підтрясу, підтрясу, завтра вранці принесу, принесу. Принесу. Звеселяймо, ти, дівчино, не вір йому, не вір, бо він хлопець мандрівний, мандрівний, він мандрує тут і там, подобає дівчатам, дівчатам. Ти, дівчино, не вір йому, не вір, бо він хлопець мандрівний, мандрівний, він мандрує тут і там, подобає дівчатам, дівчатам. Звеселяймо свою жінку молоду, молоду, не пускаю по воду, по воду. Вона може втопиться, втопиться, мені ще раз жениться, жениться. Свою жінку молоду, молоду, не пускаю по воду, по воду. Вона може втопиться, втопиться, мені ще раз жениться, жениться.
Direct from Ukraine, that is a group called Susida, which means neighbors. And a song very apropos to that, the group's name. It is called Susidka, which is neighbor girl. And that is from a CD called Hop Stop Canada. And I picked that up at a gas station in Ukraine somewhere on the road. Tell you more about it later on in the show. Вітаю вас всіх, шановні радіослухачі, на радіопередачу «Наш голос Радіо українського коріння». Говорить Павліна Макворі, дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступну годину. Hello there, and welcome to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. I'm Paulette McQuarrie, your host, and I am back from a trip to Ukraine, which was most amazing, and I will be happy to share some of the details of that with you in this program and in the weeks ahead, because a lot's happened and got lots of material. But for now, we have got a great program lined up for you. Sylvia Molnar will be along with a recipe for sorrel and spinach salad. Keith Perron is by with news from Ukraine once again, and as well an interview with Lloyd Sineko, who is the founder of HEART, which stands for Humanitarian Aid Response Teams. It is a Calgary-based charity which does humanitarian aid in Ukraine, and that was the group that hosted my recent trip to Ukraine. So he's going to join us and tell us what HEART's about and what they're doing and give you a little bit of an idea of what they're all about. And as usual, we've got our proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. And coming up next is a treasure on the other CD that I picked up at this gas station. There were two on the rack. Odd place to find a music CD, but hey, you take what you get when you can get it. An amazing CD. It's a collection of 200 MP3s, and they're just all over the place kind of songs. And this one, I couldn't believe my ears when I heard this song. But this is a rendition of a song that that I sang. I was part of a group that did it at Ukrainian Language Immersion Camp in Kenora, Saskatchewan, actually Crystal Lake, just outside of Kenora, a few years back, and I've heard various different versions of it, and this is the version that we learned and sang, and the first one that I heard, and you'll recognize it because I've played it a lot on this show, and it's going out as a special dedication to any of my former camp mates who may be listening to the show, in particular my sister Marilyn and Christine McKenzie. And the title of this version is Oy Sluzhil Zhe Ya Upana, and it is by a group called Chervona Kalena, Red Cranberry. Enjoy.
Ноги, а то й не ду-ду-ду-ду, а там все-все-все-все, а так качка дрібно скаче, а так курка чу. You can now hear programs from PCJ Radio while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. It's free and just takes a few seconds. Then during registration, hit the promo code box and enter PCJ to get automatically entered to win $100. For more information, go to www.pcjmedia.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the right menu. PCJ Radio on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio.
Мене продаєш, чи я надоїла, а ти ж мене продаєш. я надоїла.
Ой, бабусю, бабусю, ти ж уже старенька, ти ж мені надоїла, хочу молоденьку, ти ж мені надоїла, хочу молоденьку.
Was Suside with Oinahori Yarmaruk, Bizarre Affair on the Hill. And before them, from that CD of 200 MP3s, a group called Vizerunke Shlachiv and a song called Kolomlena Kalena. Near the raspberry, there's a cranberry, and very apropos for this wonderful summer season. And coming up next, we will have Sylvia with her spinach and sorrel salad. But first of all, a little heads up, something not to do. Make sure, if you're using sharp knives, not to cut your finger.
Лапачить не болить, зелений листочок не боїть, зелений листочок не гоїть, не гоїть, поцілує милий загоїть. Зелений листочок не гоїть, не гоїть, поцілує милий загоїть. Що він так до мене сміється, я його любила душею, душею, якби він не назвав своєю. Я його любила душею, душею, якби він не назвав своєю.
And now, Ukrainian Food Flair with Sylvia Molnar. Tips for Ukrainian cooking.
Hello. Sorrel grows wild in Ukraine.
It is a tender, tart, and tasty member of the buckwheat family. Sorrel leaves are shaped like spinach, range in color from pale to dark green, and are from 2 to 12 inches in length. As sorrel matures, it becomes more acidic and very bitter, so it's best to use the young leaves. It is too sour to eat a whole salad of sorrel leaves. Cooked sorrel can be used in soups, stews, and sauces. The seed of it was brought to Canada by early Ukrainian pioneers, and it is successfully cultivated here. Mr. Station, a chef at the Hotel Vancouver back in the 1940s and 50s, introduced sorrel soup to the hotel menu. He and his wife were friends of my mom and dad. He gave mom a sorrel plant from his garden, and I have a sorrel plant from that plant. It is still growing in my garden because it is really a hardy perennial. Here's a simple and lovely recipe for sorrel and spinach salad. You'll need the following ingredients: 2 pounds sorrel, finely chopped, 2 pounds spinach, finely chopped, 5 green onions or a bunch, finely chopped, 2 eggs hard cooked and quartered, 4 tablespoons oil, 1/4 teaspoon salt or to taste. Add chopped green onions and quartered eggs to chopped spinach and sorrel. Season with salt and oil. That's it. So try it. It's Ukrainian.
Thanks, Sylvia, for sharing your Ukrainian culinary expertise on Ukrainian Food Flair here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio.
You're listening to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, broadcasting from Vancouver Island, Canada, for PCJ Radio.
Ukrainian News Outlook.
Coming up: summer heat in Ukraine causing wildfires. Ukraine and Iran jointly build aircraft. I'm Keith Parent. Ukraine has seen record temperatures this week, with the capital Kiev reaching 37 degrees Celsius. The highest temperatures in the country are in the south, reaching between 40 and 42 degrees. With this heat wave comes the problem of wildfires that we've seen in other parts of the world. The Emergencies Ministry has issued warnings urging people to stay away from visiting forests and building fires in open spaces. Alexandra Malakolop reports.
More than 7,000 environmental fires have hit Ukraine since the beginning of the year. During summer, hot, dry air have provoked more than 2,000 forest fires, in total damaging more than 25,000 hectares of Ukrainian forests and agricultural fields.
Wide open areas are highly flammable now. About 7,500 hectares have burned down over the past 2 months. Although each region has fire safety plan, the statistics is terrifying.
The Yalta Mountain Forest Natural Reserve in southern Ukraine has faced the major fire. 2 large-scale fire outbreaks over the past month have destroyed about 10 hectares of forest, creating smoke clouds over the city. The fires have reportedly weighed heavily on Ukrainian firefighters, which used obsolete machinery to fight the fires. 58 vehicles, including 4 helicopters and 700 people, were involved in protests. 1,000 water-carrying vehicles totally sprayed about 120 tons of water, while strong wind hindered the firefighting efforts. Officials, however, claim it is human negligence, with cigarette butts being one of the most common causes of the fires.
Careless handling of fire is the reason of most cases. Sometimes, however, arsons were committed on purpose. The fire outbreak in Yalta is the example. The police arrested 2 persons suspected in arson of the reserve.
The most devastating forest fires caused by heat wave Ukraine has faced in 2010. Now, however, with the air temperature forecasted to step across the 40 Celsius degrees threshold, experts predict new inflammations.
The ground temperature has risen from 55 degrees to 70 degrees. Under such conditions, any spark provokes heavy fires.
The flame causes death of about 4 people every day. Officials predict the situation to grow increasingly complex up until the mid-August. In some regions, the air temperature is forecasted to bounce up to 42 degrees Celsius. Forecasters expect the easing of the heat wave in about 1 week. Meanwhile, Ukrainian firefighters remain in a standby mode. Ukrainian officials have postponed the open season in Ukraine in order to reduce the forest fire hazard. Alexandra Molotkova, Kyiv.
The AN-148, designed by the Ukrainian Anatov company, are going to be competitors to Russian and Brazilian aircraft makers. But because of the lack of investment from within the country, Ukraine has to look for international partners to build the aircraft, such as Iran. Recently, Anatov signed a deal with Panama worth $500 million to deliver 15 AN-148 planes to Panama. Dario Digutz has the story.
Designed by the Ukrainian Antonov Engineering Bureau, AN-148, along with its modification, AN-158, are considered to be the major competitors of Russian aircraft Sukhoi Superjet and the Brazilian Embraer ERJ-190. Experts say that the world's need for these types of Ukrainian aircrafts runs up to 500 planes. Recently, the Antonov company has signed a $500 million agreement on delivery of 15 aircrafts to Panama.
Antonov has sold a lot of aircraft to the Caribbean and the Central American region. All the planes were successfully operated, and that is the reason behind this contract. Panama decided to renovate its flying stock.
AN-148 is a passenger regional twin-engined plane, 480 seats. Development of the plane was started in the 90s, and the maiden flight took place in December 2004.
AN-148 is a next-generation plane designed using the digital technologies. I call it the flying supercomputer. It unites 58 digital systems and can be operated by the computer mouth.
Though AN-148 is successfully operated on domestic airlines, the Antonov company places the bet on the international market. Cooperation with Iran has a long-time history and is featured not only by mutual trade, but also by co-producing of the aircrafts. The partnership resulted in constructing the first Iran-140 passenger plane after purchasing the production license for the AN-140.
It was a very interesting and useful experience not only for the plant but for Ukraine as well. The agreement creates more jobs and the country gets the investment to develop the high-quality production.
Next in turn, says the president of Antonov company, is the joint production of AN-148.
Some aircrafts will be bought and the other will be constructed in Iran. I am confirmed that it is a true solution for Iran to output the production into the country.
Experts say that the first Iranian AN-148 is expected to fly in 2013. Among its key advantages, they emphasize efficiency and the low price.
Ukraine is one of 9 countries of the world possessing the full-range aircraft engineering. However, the economic hardships of the 90s and lack of financing have put the industry on the brink of survival. Today, experts say it may rise due to the ever-increasing demand in civil aviation across the world. Daria Digutz, Kyiv.
And with that, we've come to the end of this edition of Ukraine News Outlook. I'm Keith Parron.
You're listening to Nash Holos, Ukrainian Roots Radio, broadcasting from Vancouver Island, Canada, for PCJ Radio.
Oh,
Called Melodia Lyubov, a song of love, and that was performed by the Quartet Bernicke, the Bernicke Quartet, four members of a family of 13, and they are the Bernicke family, and I was very fortunate to meet some of this, the members of this family, and because the parents hosted the group that I was with Heart, and we were on an excursion in the Carpathian Mountains and Transcarpathia area, and they opened their home to us. They fed us fabulous food, and they did entertain us as well one evening. Some of the kids set up their equipment and did a little performance for us. And they have put out about 8 CDs. They are very hot on the Christian music scene in Ukraine, which is sort of still an underground movement. It is post-Soviet state, and so this is something new to them, to that area. And they go around Ukraine, Russia, all of the former Soviet Union. They're very, very popular, very well known. And as mentioned, they have put out several CDs, and I came home with quite a few of them, and we'll be sharing some more of their music later on in the program as well as in the weeks ahead. But coming up next is something very special. I was able to sit down on that wacky, crazy, very fast-paced trip. I managed to snag Lloyd Seneco, who is the founder of Heart, and get him to tell us just what Heart's all about, what their goals are, their aspirations, a little bit about their history and their vision for the future and what it could be in Ukraine. We're in Lviv, Ukraine, and I have with me now the founder of Heart, the host of my trip to Ukraine this year. His name is Lloyd Seneco. Welcome, Lloyd.
Thanks very much, Paulette.
First of all, the question I've been getting the most is, what is Heart? So first of all, can we answer that question? What is Heart?
Well, Heart is a relief aid and a mission organization designed primarily to equip and empower and encourage national ministries, national pastors here in Ukraine, indigenous people, as they try to do the work that God has called them to do.
So how is Heart different then from other many missionary, many churches and many organizations, NGOs have sent people here as missionaries to help the people here? How do you do things differently from the other missionaries?
Most other mission organizations have a philosophy in the Protestant churches of sending missionaries. Our philosophy has been completely different because this was not part of my background. So when I first came to Ukraine, I realized that I wasn't going to be a missionary here. But there were a lot of things that we could do for these people practically. And so essentially what we do is we seek out the best ministries that we can find in Ukraine, doing all kinds of different work with orphans, with widows, with summer camp programs, in hospitals, with youth, with street children, boys in prison. We seek out the best and the brightest ministries we can find. We partner with them. We assess their needs and provide them with the resources that they need. One of the important aspects of what we do is we also hold them accountable. So whenever we give resources from people in North America, we're always concerned about how the funds are being used. And so that's an important aspect of our ministry, is just holding people accountable. And as a result, we have never had problems with ministries not using funds the way they initially agreed to. And the system works. Very simple system, and it's just meeting a lot of needs here in the country of Ukraine.
So what are some of the needs that you're involved with?
You know, every different ministry would have different requirements. For example, we partner with ministries going into orphanages. And in orphanages, they'll have birthday parties for the kids. They'll have weekly programs for the kids, all kinds of stuff that they wouldn't normally get at an orphanage. Typically, orphanages are not a very stimulating place to live. And so when people from the outside come in and love these kids and teach them things, teach them games and songs and celebrate their birthdays, well, we have ministries that go into orphanages, and their request to us in terms of resources, they need transportation costs. They're going to orphanages out in the country where no one from the West has ever seen or will ever see. But these orphanages do exist, and they're pretty poor. And so these ministries need transportation fees so they can get a car full of volunteers to come out to this orphanage on a weekly basis. They would need some funds to buy presents for the kids or candy for the kids or balloons if they're celebrating birthdays. So very simple resources, not a lot of money. Some of these ministries were funding at like $50 a month or $100 a month, which is not a lot of money, but it makes such a tremendous impact in, let's say, an orphanage ministry. And all of the other ministries are like this. For example, some of the soup kitchens that we partner with, they need funds, obviously, to buy some of the food. Most of the ministries we partner with have their own gardens, so they bring their own potatoes and carrots and things like that. But some of the specialty items that they would have at a soup kitchen, they require, you know, to be purchased. And so we provide them with some funds that they can purchase some things like this, some additional kinds of food.
So what you're doing is essentially setting up a skeleton staff in Canada and even here in Ukraine. But your mission is to empower people, essentially not give a man a fish, as so many missionaries do, but teach a man to fish and feed him for life.
Paulette, when we started this ministry 16 years ago, I really thought that this would be a very temporary ministry. I thought maybe after 10 years, we would probably be working ourselves out of a job, which is what we intended. We initially wanted to be a bridge between the fall of communism and the point where the local churches have become or will become self-sufficient. And so our goal is not to just keep funding ministries. Our goal is to have these people become self-sufficient. So everything that we do is designed around that. And so in other words, in the last 16 years, we have over 200 partnerships in Ukraine, Moldova, Romania, and Belarus. And not one of these ministries is dependent upon us. And I think that's another key element to what we do. And one of the things that I believe makes us very unique is that we're teaching people to be self-sufficient and not dependent upon us in the West.
What do you mean? Explain what you mean by not dependent on you.
One of the things I observed when I first came to Ukraine back in 1994 and 1995, Americans and Canadians were sending all kinds of people out here doing all kinds of programs with local churches, funded entirely by people in the West. And the moment that the funding stopped, could have been an orphanage or a soup kitchen, the moment the funding stopped, that ministry died. So our philosophy is completely different. We will find local people already doing a ministry, and we know it's run by locals. And again, one of the important aspects of this is that if it is not championed by local people, it will die once the funding runs out. And so we find these local people doing unbelievable work, and we come alongside with them and empower them and encourage them and give them a base of support. None of it is large enough for them to become dependent upon us. It's just a foolhardy strategy, and that's not what we're all about.
So can you give us some examples of some of the people that you've partnered with and projects that you've worked on?
Well, there's just too many to name, but I can just think of a couple. One is prisons for boys that are 9 to 14. So even as early as age 9 and 10 and 11, these boys are already in prison. And you might wonder, well, why on earth would they be in prison? A lot of cases, it's simply because of the social environments that these kids grow up in. Fathers are an alcoholic, mother's a prostitute, father's in jail or dead. So a lot of cases, these kids are on the street stealing food, not only for them, but possibly for younger siblings, and eventually get thrown in jail, and they'll spend 2 or 3 years in jail. And so a lot of these kids are in jail for, you know, through no fault of their own. They're innocent little kids who are trying to survive. Our organization, HEART, has helped purchase a number of carpentry tools and power equipment so that we can teach these boys some carpentry skills while they're behind bars. We've also purchased a number of musical instruments, and the boys' prison has an orchestra. And it is wonderful to see on a weekend about 10 of these kids coming out of the prison all dressed up in their little smart but disheveled looking suit coats, and they'll play their musical instruments in front of a church. And they'll do this for a weekend. They'll play at several churches, but then they get an opportunity to sleep in a regular bed in a regular home and be like a regular kid. And then Monday they have to go back to the prison. But for that weekend, it's a great experience for them. And we try to spoil them when they're outside of the prison and take them to McDonald's and things like that that are just a dream for them. These kids, if they don't get their act together, will follow that up with a life of crime, and they're going to end up in the prisons for adults for the next 20 or 30 years. So that's just one of our partners. We partner with people involved in camp ministries. We partner with people involved in senior care. We have one of our partners in Lutsk has one of the best handicap ministries that we've seen in Ukraine. In fact, they have a rehabilitation center for handicapped kids, and it is the only free physiotherapy clinic that really is available in Ukraine. There is another one in Ukraine, but they charge. This is the only free one, and that's something that HEART supports. And we try to find others in the West who would want to support that. It is so important to those kids that are handicapped. Now, this is not a wheelchair friendly environment to live in. If someone is in a wheelchair, you'd be hard pressed to find a sidewalk ramp. Most of the elevators in the apartment buildings are not even wide enough for the wheelchairs to get into. And we know that a lot of these kids are living in an apartment. They get out possibly one time a year, and that's the one of the summer camps that HEART supports. And the rest of the time, these kids live and look at four walls all year round. This June, we had Euro Cup in Ukraine, and there were four cities involved. Lviv happened to be one of them, and they built this brand new stadium. So we had a van full of young boys from Lutsk. We also had a couple of our friends here from Lviv, and we brought everybody to this Euro Cup game. And boy, if you want to talk about a highlight in a young boy's life, this was it. They were at a Euro Cup soccer game, and not only that, but they were wheeled into the stadium and seated almost next to the players, which was a huge thrill for them. And so after the game, they were the most excited young boys you can imagine. And they're showing everybody the tickets from the Euro soccer game because no one believes them that they actually went to Euro soccer. So that's just an exciting thing. And that's what gives us so much satisfaction in working with the locals. They know how to touch people locally. They know how to think of ways that kids in a wheelchair might benefit by something. And they just reach out in love to all of these kids. And there's no monetary reward for them doing this. All of them are doing things voluntarily. Nobody's getting paid. It's just amazing amount of love that these people are giving toward those, you know, less advantaged.
They're also working a lot with women.
Really, it's the women who are the spiritual backbone of the country, and in most cases don't get enough credit for what they're doing. So there are women's camps that are going on in the country that we support. We also have a child sponsor program where we have many women who are involved in this as caseworkers. And so it's the women of the country that are doing so much here. And again, as I said, they don't get enough credit. And so we try to partner with them. We try to send them to summer camps themselves. They can have some retreats. So we're doing the best job that we can for women and providing them with some of the resources, some of the encouragement that they need to live their difficult lives with an alcoholic husband or a husband that has deserted the family and the wife has, you know, four or five children. And that's where our child sponsor program comes in to help, quite a bit as well.
So what you're doing then is not coming in with a kind of patronizing attitude. We just move aside and we'll show you how it's done. What you're actually doing is supporting them in their efforts, really giving them the resources to learn how to do things for themselves and acquire expertise firsthand by just doing.
Yeah, that's right, Paulette. And I can give you just one example of one of the churches helping out one particular family. And I happened to go with them that one day to visit this family. We knew that there was a couple of young kids in the family and the mother wasn't very responsible. And I remember as I walked into this apartment, it was a second floor of kind of a duplex, but a beaten up old house. As soon as we walked in, the mother of two little girls was with a couple of men. We don't know who they were, but they quickly scampered out like, some cockroaches whose space had been invaded. And the grandmother was looking after these kids. And she was fighting off some alcoholism as well. And the women from this church started looking after them and started providing them with some material things. And we got the kids involved in our child sponsor program. And now when we look back 4 years later, the mother now is completely clean and sober. The grandmother is completely clean and sober. The home for these little girls has been cleaned up. And to see these two little girls, their lives have been completely changed in the last 4 years because of this church, because of the love from people in the church, because of Hearts Ministry and the Child Sponsor Program. And so we're all working together. And when we talk about having partners here in Eastern Europe, and again, as I mentioned before, we have over 200 partners. We really work in partnership with them to change lives here in Ukraine.
So what I'm seeing is the people here in Ukraine are actually doing all the work. They don't need help to do work.
There's nothing that we can teach these talented people here in Ukraine. All they need are the resources. And through a child sponsor program, we provide the resources. Most of the churches that we partner with, they're pretty poor themselves. They're basically on survival mode. And that's where the child sponsor program comes in. Now we give them the tools to start changing the lives of people in their own communities. And that's how it all works. And you're right, Paulette. We don't have to come and teach them anything. I've had so many teams from Canada coming out here and basically come away with, I came here thinking I was going to teach something. And I was the one who was blessed because I went back to Canada having learned something.
You mentioned that you're partnering with Protestant churches, but you're pretty open to any church that is interested in working with you.
Yeah, Paulette, we're less concerned with denominations than we are with individuals. It doesn't matter to us if they're Catholic or Lutheran or Baptist or Pentecostal. The goal is to change the hearts and minds of the people in this country, and we can only do that through the wonderful people of Ukraine who have the same goal.
And in North America, you're looking for support from who?
Anyone who has a heart for Eastern Europe, anyone who has a heart for kids. Thousands of kids go to summer camps through the funds that we raise in North America. We have thousands of people who go through our medical clinics every year. And again, it's because of people in North America who are supporting us. So we're looking for people who are interested in it sounds like a lofty goal, but it's interested in changing the world, because we really can change the world, but it takes teamwork. Just like it takes teamwork for us to run our organization. We have a very small staff, but we work as in teamwork. But we can change the world, even if it's for one child. And if you can change the world for one child, then you literally have changed the world, because you have no idea the impact that one child will have on hundreds or thousands of other children. Maybe it's a crazy vision of ours to change the world, but we think we can. And one of the slogans that we've used over the years is changing the world one heart at a time.
And you're very appropriately named organization for that. So anybody listening is encouraged to join the Child Sponsor Program.
Absolutely. If you do want to change a heart, if you do want to change a family, if you want to help us change a community, get involved in the Child Sponsor Program. It's one of the best investments you can ever make. And when you get those cards and letters from that child, or you hear the wonderful stories of how your support has changed the life of a child or that family, you'll want to grab more kids, not just be satisfied with sponsoring one child.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Lloyd, for this opportunity to come to Ukraine to see what HEART's doing on the ground and to absolutely be able to confirm everything you say and more.
Thanks, Paula. It's been a delight having you here in Ukraine. I know this has been an interesting time for you, and it's just been great to have you here and have a fresh pair of eyes. And it's always good to hear your thoughts about what we're doing and what you've experienced. And so it's just been a delight having you here this summer, Paulette. Thanks. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thanks. And I was speaking with Lloyd Sineko, the founder of HEART, Humanitarian Aid Response Teams, based in Calgary and working in Ukraine. That was just an excerpt of the conversation I had with him. We spoke for half an hour. And you can catch the full interview on the Nash Hollis website as well. This interview will be archived. And if you are interested in helping out with the Child Sponsor Program, and this really is a great opportunity, a wonderful way to give back to the country of our ancestors and our roots, and particularly those of us born in the diaspora, a way to say thank you to our parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, and perhaps even great-great-grandparents for having the foresight to come here to give us this good life, because that could be us in dire poverty in Ukraine had it not been for them. So here's a way to spread the happiness, spread the wealth, spread the joy for the cost of perhaps a Tim's cup of coffee a day. You can make a huge difference in the life of a Ukrainian child. So go to our website, which is nashholos.com. Right on the homepage, you'll see a link to HEART for more information on the Child Sponsor Program. You can also just send me an email if you want a little bit of help to get started. I'll be very happy to help you out with that process. So drop me an email, producer@nashholos.com. Also, you can call us if you're in the local area or if you have a free long-distance plan. Call 604-227-0942. I'll be happy to help you out. And also to send you a little something extra special, just a token of appreciation for opening up your heart to a child in Ukraine. For the very best in Ukrainian programming, tune in to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio on the PCJ Radio Network Saturdays in your part of the world on AM, FM, and shortwave radio. And remember, you can catch the show on your smartphone via the Stitcher app. As well, Nash Holos airs Sundays at 5 p.m. Pacific Time in Vancouver on AM 1320 CHMB, and in Nanaimo on Vancouver Island Wednesdays at 12 noon on Radio Malaspina 101.7 FM CHLY. If you're a time shifter, you can catch the podcast on the Nash Holos page at www.pcjmedia.com and on iTunes. Online, you can find us at www.nashholos.com. Please drop by for a visit, take our survey, sign up on the site so we can stay in touch, and please like our Facebook fan page. На жаль, ми вже скінчили нашу програму, вже час додому, ви сказати до побачення, але перед тим я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості. Носив вовк, понесуть і вовка. And our proverb of the week translates as, the wolf preyed on others, others will prey on him. And that's P-R-E-Y, not A-Y. Well, that just about wraps up our program. So one last tune from a group called Susida, and it is called Hulayuya, having a good time. I'm Paulette Demchik-McQuarrie on behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and PCJ Radio. Thanks so much for listening. Till next time, do pobachenia.
На городі маки в'ються, а за мною хлопці в'ються, гуляю я.